If the churches all across America could unite and come together city by city just to seek the face of the Lord and just to intercede, that we put away our differences, we gather in the name of Jesus with one accord, we're there for 40 minutes or an hour to pray, I am convinced if we did that all across America, our nation would be changed. I am convinced.
Welcome back to the America Pray Now podcast, the podcast for people of prayer. On today's episode, America Pray Now leader Josiah Alway speaks with Pastor Rick Ritchie of Hollywood Church of Fredericksburg, Virginia. Pastor Rick recently hosted several prayer meetings with APN and shares some reflections and testimonies of what the Lord has been doing. We'll join Josiah and Pastor Rick now.
Well, hello and welcome to America Pray Now's podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. If this is your first time joining us, we want to welcome you. Our ministry is currently meeting with believers in 18 different cities across several different states, gathering to pray for revival, to pray for our churches, our leaders. We also publish a magazine, this podcast. We host special events. We have a lot of things going on. About 8 years ago, when the ministry was much, much smaller, there was a pastor in Fredericksburg, Virginia, pastor of Hollywood Church, Pastor Rick Ritchie, that started coming to the meetings. And just over time, he's been so instrumental in this ministry. And he's been on this podcast before. He's covered several different meetings, leading meetings, and writing articles, and we're just so excited to have back with us again, Pastor Rick Ritchie. Thanks for being back with us again today.
Oh, it's my privilege.
And you were just recently, I believe, sort of doing the circuit and covering a lot of the different meetings, and we wanted to just bring you on to talk a little bit about America Pray Now, how it's impacted your life. And I just want to say, by the way, that you've been such an inspiration in my life, and I'm just so blessed that God brought us together.
Well, hey, it's very mutual, Josiah. And what APN has meant to me over the last 8 years, I have to start with saying there was a couple in my church that kept asking me to go to APN. And as a pastor, I just didn't have time, I thought. But they wouldn't quit. They didn't give up. And so I said, I'm going to try it. And like you said, it was about 8 years ago. I'd been going to the Fredericksburg meeting. And it has become such an important part of my life. It has challenged me in my prayer life with the leaders like you and your mom and Ryan and O'Neill. It has just been amazing because it's taken my prayer life to a whole new depth. It has really been challenging. It has been encouraging. It's been a major part of my spiritual growth. And I have just enjoyed. Now I wouldn't miss it for anything, hardly. And I just appreciate America Pray Now. I really appreciate what it stands for, because there has never been such a time as this. It sounds like Esther, that we need to pray. We need to bring people together to pray for our nation. We need it here in Virginia very bad with all the things that are coming up. And I just find it so refreshing together with Christians across denominational lines, and we're just gathering in the name of Jesus and we pray. We have great fellowship first, but then we pray, and it is just a great time to do the Lord's work. And so I have really appreciated America Pray Now, and for the last 2 years getting to go and to different meetings, it has just been tremendous. I'll be honest with you. When you all asked me to lead some of the meetings, I was been pastoring for 40 years here, and I was still nervous. And what I found out in the very first meeting that Monday morning 2 years ago in June is, when you gather with other Christians, there's nothing to be nervous about. There is a bond that takes place. There is the fellowship you just sense immediately because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is just amazing. And I just came back to the church and I told him very honestly, I said, you know, I was really uptight about this, but I want to tell you, it's been such a blessing. And to be a part of not only leading, but praying. And so I am really excited about being a part of APN. And I would encourage all to, because our nation and our state, we need prayer and that's, bringing that's Christians right. together to pray.
That's right. That's yeah. right. And it's divided, I think, as the body of Christ is. I'm so blessed to be able to gather with people of, like you said, different denominations, different doctrinal views, different churches. But there's something about coming together to pray that is united by Christ. It's incredible.
It is. You know, in between one of the meetings 2 weeks ago, I don't know if it was when I left Lynchburg to go to Roanoke to that meeting, what really came across, and I wrote it down, is that if the churches all across America could unite and come together city by city just to seek the face of the Lord and just to intercede, that we put away our differences, we gather in the name of Jesus with one accord, we're there for 40 minutes or an hour to pray. I am convinced if we did that all across America, our nation would be changed. I am convinced. Like you said, the church is so divided. And I mean, we all have our ministries, and praise God for our ministries. They're all important. But man, if we could all come together city by city every month and pray, just like America Pray Now is doing in some, I just think God would just have such room to work that it would just be amazing.
That's right. Yeah. And that seems to be historic as well, in the sense that when believers gathered to pray, I think about the Hebrides revival or different revivals mm-hmm. where people just begin to seek God and look past their differences. The Lord yeah. always seems to move in that.
Yeah, no sure. doubt. And I'll tell you what was, I want to tell you about one experience, because each meeting, as you know, is very different. The dynamics of each group is different. We always have the same format, and we gather for fellowship. We have a meal. We have scripture and a message to encourage, of exhortation. And then we pray. They're all the same. But every group has its dynamics. And when I went to Charlottesville 2 weeks ago, that it was a lunchtime meeting. And so people started coming in at 12:15, 12:30. And this was the middle of the week. I'd already been through 3 or 4 or 5 meetings. And I want to tell you, when people started coming in before we did anything, I was so overwhelmed with the presence of God that I just teared up. I had to walk out of the room. It's just because people were gathering in the name of Jesus. Nothing had been said, but you could sense the presence of God. And I walked out of the room because I didn't want people to see the pastor crying. And I went to the bathroom and washed my face. And I don't know if I'll ever forget that experience. And I mean, each of the meetings were very tremendous. I text your mom all the time and said, man, that was another great meeting. We just sensed but Charlottesville, there was an overwhelming presence of the Lord as we just gathered. And they didn't know me and I didn't know them. But that doesn't matter. We were all there in the name of Jesus praying. And it was just tremendous. And I came home just all excited.
Wow. I'm almost speechless that at that testimony. And I've experienced that as well. Like you said, every month is different. Every meeting is different. But to hear that the Lord is almost like waiting there as yes. people are gathering. And
yes. Yes. In a public place. That was what's so neat, that, you know, many times we look like, as the church, that we're diminishing and the world's winning. And I want to tell you, you have a meeting like that where you sense the presence of the Lord and you just think, hey, the Goliaths are going to fall. David is still standing.
That's right. That's right.
Red Sea's still open. And so, yeah, there's one in the fire with us. And so it's just great.
You've covered all the meetings twice in the last 2 years, right? 2 summers in a row.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but I mean, we have people from all the way from like Pentecostal, then, you know, Baptist, Presbyterians, non-denominational, every denomination you could probably imagine is there. And I have never seen anything like that in my life, to where you have people. And then more often than not, there's just a flow of prayer, and nobody's there to debate different views. It's just there to seek the Lord.
Yes. And I think that's what's so neat. We're just there to pray. And I think that's the agenda that we set as leaders that, hey, we might have some differences. Our core beliefs are the same in Christ, the gospel, but we are here to pray. We're here to gather in the name of Jesus. We are here to just intercede on behalf of the things that burden all of our hearts. And here's something that I've seen, Josiah, that in all the meetings that I've led, I told my wife, there is a consensus all across the state and in each meeting of the same burdens that are on Christians' hearts all over. And that means if we can pull everybody together and to lift those burdens up all across America, it is amazing what God can do. And because there's a consensus in the body of Christ. And that's what I see in each of the groups. It's not totally different views. Everybody's there in one accord. We are praying for the heart of God in America, for revival, for repentance, and just for a move for the gospel to go forward, people's lives to be changed and transformed, and our society, families to be built up, marriages. And so, I mean, we could keep on, but you get the idea.
Actually, in my Bible reading this morning, I was reading about Daniel, and he said when he had gathered to repent of his sins and the sins of the nation, and, yes. and the angel appears, and thinking about people like that all across America gathering to repent on behalf of God's people, and what that's doing in the spirit realm that we can't even haven't yeah. probably seen yet, but things are happening in that. I know that you had talked about Psalm, I think it was it 34, Psalm yes. 34 verses 14 and 15. I don't know if that's what you've been talking about at the America Pray Now meetings, or but I was wondering if maybe you'd expound a little bit on that, on the idea of God seeing and hearing. And
well, I don't know of anything that is more, I remember one of the first times that I ran across that scripture, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, that his ears are attentive to their cries. Mm-hmm. And it just encouraged me so much. No, at the meetings, my devotional was on Jonah, and the depth, praying from the depths. But knowing as Jonah was praying out from the depths, that even in his disobedience, even in that great fish, God was hearing his prayers. The Bible says that my prayers are rising up to your temple. And that gave me a great understanding that no matter how low we might think we are and how bad and overwhelmed, our prayers are rising up, that God doesn't have a hearing problem. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open. And so, you know, God's not deaf. And so I just really, that gives me such a confidence. And back in June, I went to the Billy Graham Training Center for DTS, Dallas Theological Seminary, and we did the whole book of James. And the one thing that really hit me about prayer in James, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, but don't doubt. Because if you doubt, don't think you're going to get anything from the Lord. So when I put all this together, that when our prayers rise up, we need to know they are going before the throne of grace. And we need to know they're there and they're not going to leave till God takes care of them one way or the other. Mm. God's going to answer our prayers. We need to have that confidence in God as his people, his children. You know, I've got grandchildren. If they ask me something, I'm going to take care of it one way or the other. Either I'm going to take them to the woodshed. No, just teasing. But anyway, and so we have to have that kind of confidence that God hears our prayers, that God sees our situations, that he doesn't slumber nor sleep. And so we have to have that kind of confidence and not go away doubting. Because James says, if you doubt, don't think you're going to get anything. You're unstable in all that you do. And that really challenged me in my prayer life is to say, I don't want to be up and down like the waves of the sea. Mm-hmm. I want to have that firm belief. My prayers are before the throne of grace. And what's really neat is when we pray as groups there at America Pray Now, whether it's Lynchburg, Roanoke, whether it's Gloucester, whether it's Richmond, wherever it's neat to experience the presence of God. That's humbling. But what is even greater is we have just bombarded God's throne with our petitions. Mm. And they are there. They rise like incense to the throne of God. And they are sweet smelling and accepted through Jesus Christ. They're there. And he always gives bread and fish to his children. We know that. He cannot do anything that's contrary to his nature. He always does what is best for his children. Our job is trust him for that. I got to trust you, Lord, for the bread. Amen. And so, so his eyes are on the righteous. His ears are attentive. You know, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers us out of them all. That's the promise in verse 19, I believe it is. He delivers us out of them all. We're going to win this thing.
Maybe you've already touched on some of this, but one of the questions I actually had for you that I like to ask pretty much every pastor I talk to on the subject of prayer is, if you were talking to a new believer or even a believer that's been going to church for years that doesn't really have a prayer life, what would be some of the practical steps or guidance from scripture or things that the Lord has done in your life on the subject of prayer that you like to share with people?
I think learning and developing a prayer life, you just have to start very simple. Because a lot of people aren't there and they're scared. A lot of people are afraid to pray publicly. I just did a series in my Sunday school class at our church here on the Lord's Prayer and just the basics of learning how to pray, that it's really a model prayer for the followers of Christ. And just starting out with very simple, just what are you thankful for in your life? What do you want to praise God for? Your home, your family, your pets. I just start out very simple and just to build on that and just to know that God is holy, hallowed be your name. And so we work through the Lord's Prayer and a confession of sins and dependence on God for our daily bread. You know, thank you, Lord, that we have our stores. Thank you that I have a job. You know, just teaching them little simple things and how to develop from there. And so that's what I try to do, is just start. You know, I remember when our son began to read. I'll never forget that evening. My wife was sitting on the couch with him and reading, and he read his first words. And I just started tearing up because he was reading. And it's just neat to hear a new Christian start to pray so simply. And yet it can be so powerful. I think some of the most powerful prayers come from children. And so I think just helping them to learn is feel free. One of my favorite verses about prayer that has really helped me through some hard times in my own life, because every one of us has some real issues to deal with, is in Lamentations. It says, pour out your heart like water. And so I try to teach our people, God wants you to be free. He understands where you are. He understands what you're going through. He wants you to freely pour out your heart like water, just to be that free. If you've messed up, tell him. He already knows it. I tell him, it's not like a substitute teacher. We're going to pull the wool over your eyes, because God already knows. And so it's a freedom just to be able to be honest with God and just to articulate what's on your heart. And there's a real freedom in that. And so I try to help people know, just be free with God, like you're sitting in a chair right beside him and your Abba Father, and just pour out your heart. And if it's something bad, just tell him. If it's something good, and just keep it simple, sincere. You know, Jesus said, go in your prayer closet, close the door, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. And so I said, have your prayer closet. Just go in between you and the Lord and develop that prayer life. And you will never be sorry for developing a prayer life. It's the most powerful things we can do in our lives, and pray. So I hope that answered it a little bit.
For sure. And what about, I know there's a lot of pastors involved with America Pray Now. Have you seen in your congregation, would you encourage pastors to encourage more prayer in the local church? And maybe one of the answers is join an America Pray Now meeting. But outside of that, I know there's some churches that really, really pray. There's some churches that's maybe on the bottom of the priority list. But I don't know, any words of encouragement for pastors out there?
Well, I would say, number one, I think, is it taught or caught?
Oh, wow, that's good.
I think it has to be both. I think it needs to be role modeled from the pastors on out. And I think if they see your heart for prayer and that they see you in prayer with them, whether it's collectively and corporately, whether it's on personal issues or they come to the altar. And what we have seen, I mean, we're not where your church is in prayer, because I've been to your church and your pastor, your dad pastors, and there's such a freedom in your church, and we're not there yet. But our small congregation is a very praying congregation. And I think it all started because years ago, there was a couple that mentored all of us in prayer. They would not quit. They just kept. When I started in pastoring 40 years ago, I was so excited about just sharing Jesus. And this one woman, she just wouldn't quit. I said, I don't have time to pray. She said, if you don't have time to pray, you don't have time for anything. And little by little, she mentored me without, there wasn't any class, but it was caught over 20, 30 years. And so I think it's mentored. I think it has to be taught. And I think it has to be caught. And when there's a hunger and when people see it's real and they see what God is doing, that really makes a difference.
And I've been to your church as well. And I got to say, your church is such a blessing. I always love, I've been there a few times, and what a special, special congregation and such wonderful people.
Yeah, they've had to be good to put up with me for 40 years.
That's wonderful. So any maybe closing thoughts or any more testimonies that maybe would encourage people or things you've seen over these last 8 years?
I would like to say that if you've never attended America Pray Now, it has been such a blessing to my life. It has helped me to grow spiritually. In my prayer life, it has challenged me. It has really increased my understanding of prayer, not only just the horizontal, but the spiritual aspect of it, the heavenly realm and what goes on. And I have learned so much. And so it has been such an encouragement to me. And I would like to challenge more people in our churches to become a part of it. This isn't about politics. Yes, many of us are very conservative in what we believe, but this is standing on biblical beliefs, praying for our country, for the freedom of our children and our grandchildren, that they can experience what we have growing up when I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned about that for the future. Mm-hmm. I am concerned what my grandchildren are facing that I never faced. And so I think the need for prayer, no politician's going to change this. It's going to have to be God. There's going to be the moving of the Holy Spirit, and the church has to come together to pray for that to happen. God doesn't work in a vacuum.
That's right. Do you feel like, you mentioned when you were a kid, do you feel like the church, that local churches prayed more? I've heard a lot of people say, oh, years ago, there was so much more prayer in the local church. Is that your experience as well?
Yes, and I can remember as a little boy, and I mean, this might sound kind of petty, But yet this was back in the 50s. I'm dating myself, but I can remember during the prayer time in my home church, people would get down in their pews and kneel. Now, I haven't seen that in years, probably 40 or 50 years. But I remember that as a little boy, people would get down wherever they're sitting in their pew, they would kneel for prayer. And so I just think times have changed. And, you know, we do a lot of different things here. And here's the sad note. You can have a lot of different activities for the church that people really come out for. But if you say we're just going to have a prayer meeting, many times they're very small. I would like to see it reversed.
I have seen pictures of like different, you know, that some of the early revivals and they were going on in the mid-1900s. And what you just described, there's pictures of, you know, people at the altar or at their pews kneeling down and in prayer. And that's a lot of that's been, it's been lost for sure. Yeah. But I'm so thankful to be part of a ministry that's trying to restore the priority of prayer.
Amen.
Corporately in also in the church and also in the private prayer closet.
Yes. Yes.
Good joy. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you so much. You're such a blessing to this ministry, such a blessing to me. And thank you so much for being willing to be on.
Well, it's no way I could ever say thank you all enough for allowing me to be a part of APN, because I love it. Thanks and God bless.
God bless.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on the America Pray Now podcast. America Pray Now's purpose is to unite Christian believers who are responding to a call from God to pray for America and who sense the need for revival in their own lives that will in turn bring about a national revival. We meet in 18 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also meet in West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, North Carolina, South Carolina, and California. We also have a monthly prayer call. See our website for details on how to join. Also on our website, you can subscribe to our magazine, which is printed several times per year, free of charge, and can be delivered directly to your home. Visit our website at americapraynow.com to receive this free magazine. And until next time, may God bless you.